This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to adapt your leadership voice when you are communicating across cultures at work. A practical system for leaders who need to be understood everywhere. In short, your leadership voice does not land the same way in every culture, and pretending otherwise costs you trust, clarity, and results. What works as confident and direct in one cultural setting reads as blunt or disrespectful in another. Adapting your voice is not about performance. It is about making your intent legible to the people you lead. You can stay true to your values and still adjust your tone, framing, and style to meet people where they are. Definition: leadership voice across cultures is the deliberate practice of adjusting your communication style, including your tone, directness, formality, and pacing, to match the cultural expectations of your audience, without compromising your core character or standards as a leader. I watched a senior manager destroy 6 months of careful relationship building in a single meeting. She was sharp, experienced, and genuinely well-intentioned. She opened the meeting with her team in Singapore the same way she always did with her team in Chicago: direct, fast-moving, challenge first. She interrupted to push back on ideas. She asked pointed questions without preamble. By the end of the call, two of her most capable people had gone quiet and stayed quiet. She left thinking the meeting had gone well. Her leadership voice had simply not made the journey with her. Adapting your leadership voice across cultures is harder than most communication advice admits. It is not about learning a few phrases or remembering to bow. It is about recognizing that the way you signal confidence, respect, and authority is culturally encoded, and that encoding is largely invisible to you until it fails. This much I know for certain: the leaders who get this right are not the ones who study culture obsessively. They are the ones who build a working system, apply it consistently, and stay curious when it does not work. Why your default leadership voice does not travel. Your communication style was built over decades. The pace at which you speak, how much silence you tolerate, how directly you deliver a hard truth, whether you open with relationship building or get straight to the point, all of it was shaped by the environment that trained you. That style works because the people around you share enough of the same cultural wiring to decode it correctly. When you step across a cultural line, the decoding breaks down. The problem is not your message. The problem is that your delivery is speaking a dialect people were not raised to read. In low-context cultures, direct and explicit communication is the standard. Saying exactly what you mean is a sign of respect. In high-context cultures, meaning travels through relationship, tone, and the space between words. A leadership voice built for one will routinely misfire in the other. For more on how communication style shapes group dynamics, see how leaders foster a culture of team synergy. This is not a character flaw. It is a calibration problem, and calibration is something you can fix. What do you need before you begin adapting? Before you adjust anything, you need two things in place. The first is self-knowledge. You cannot adapt your leadership voice if you do not know what it currently sounds like to others, not how it sounds to you, how it lands on them. Solicit specific feedback from people who have seen you lead in cross-cultural settings. Ask what they noticed, not what they thought you intended. The second is genuine curiosity. Not politeness, not tolerance, real interest in how people from different backgrounds experience the world and communication within it. Without that curiosity, your adaptation will feel like a performance to the people you're trying to reach. They will sense it. And once they sense it, trust collapses. How to adapt your leadership voice across cultures. The core process. Step 1. Map the cultural communication landscape. Before you open your mouth in a new cultural context, do your homework. Not surface-level research, but serious pattern recognition. Is this a culture where hierarchy shapes communication, meaning people defer to seniority in meetings and rarely challenge openly? Is it a culture where relational trust must be built before business is discussed? Does silence signal thought or disagreement? You will not find a perfect map, but you will find enough to stop operating blind. A useful frame places the culture roughly on two axes: direct versus indirect communication, high hierarchy versus flat hierarchy. Your default position on both axes will tell you exactly where the gap is likely to appear. Step 2. Audit the four levers of your voice. Your leadership voice operates on four levers, and each one sends cultural signals independently. Tone: how warm or formal do you sound? Do you open with personal connection or task focus? Directness: How explicitly do you state disagreement, expectation, or criticism? Pace. How much time do you leave for silence, reflection, and response? Framing. Do you lead with conclusion, and then evidence, or build context before your point? Write down your natural setting on each lever. Then ask which of these is most likely to misfire in this specific context. That is where you start. Step 3. Adjust one lever at a time. Here is the error I see most leaders make. They try to overhaul everything at once and end up sounding like a different person entirely. Their team can feel that effort. It reads as awkward or even dishonest. Instead, choose the single lever that poses the greatest risk of misunderstanding and adjust that one deliberately. If you are moving into a high-context environment and your default is blunt directness, work on framing first. Soften your entry point into difficult conversations. Build the context before you land the conclusion. For example, instead of opening with, "This plan has three problems," try, "I want to make sure we are set up for success here. Can we walk through a few areas I would like to think through together?" Same intent. Different framing. The relationship is protected. The point still lands. Step 4. Read the room in real time. Preparation gets you to the door. What happens inside depends on your ability to read signals during the conversation itself. Watch for the moments when energy changes, when someone goes quiet who was engaged, when answers become shorter, when eye contact shifts. These are not signs of rudeness or disinterest. They are feedback. Your leadership voice has triggered something the words alone are not telling you. When you notice a shift, slow down. Ask a genuine question. "I want to make sure I'm being clear. How is this landing for you?" In many cultures, this kind of direct metacommunication is itself unusual, so phrase it gently. But do not let the signal pass unaddressed. Those unaddressed signals become the cracks in trust. The same skill applies in meetings, where cultural differences surface as conflict. Reading the room in real time is not a soft skill. It is a critical leadership tool. Step 5. Deliver feedback with cultural intelligence. Feedback is where leadership voice either builds or breaks cross-cultural trust. The stakes are high because feedback touches identity, not just performance. In cultures where face-saving matters deeply, public criticism is not just uncomfortable, it is a form of harm. In cultures where directness is the norm, excessive softening reads as vagueness or even dishonesty. Neither extreme serves the person you're trying to help. The practical system I use separate the setting, the framing, and the standard. The setting is always private for anything critical, regardless of culture. The framing adapts to the cultural context. The standard, the actual expectation you are holding, never moves. "I noticed the report came in late. I want to understand what got in the way and make sure you have what you need going forward." That language works across most contexts. It is clear without being aggressive. It is curious without being soft. For a deeper process on this, see how to give feedback across cultures without causing offense or misunderstanding. Step 6. Build relational trust before you need it. In many cultures, your leadership voice will not be trusted until the relationship is. That is a sequencing issue, not a personality issue. You cannot earn influence through competence alone when relational trust is a currency. This means investing time in conversations that are not about the work. It means remembering what people told you last time. It means showing up to the informal moments, not just the structured ones. This is not wasted time. It is load-bearing infrastructure. The communication you need to have when things are difficult depends on deposits you made when things were easy. If you're also navigating a restructure or leadership transition, the relational foundation becomes even more critical. See how to sustain team synergy during leadership transitions and restructuring. Step 7. Stay consistent, then reflect. Adaptation is not a one-time event. It is a practice. After every significant cross-cultural interaction, take 5 minutes to reflect. What did you adjust? What landed? What did not? What would you do differently? Over time, this builds what I would call cultural fluency, not a performance you put on, but a genuine expansion of your communication range. The goal is not to become a different leader in every time zone. It is to become a leader whose voice carries meaning and respect wherever it needs to go. Adapting your leadership voice in virtual and remote settings. Remote work adds a layer of complexity that most leaders underestimate. Cultural signals that travel through physical presence, body language, and informal conversation simply do not exist on a video call in the same way. In a physical room, you can feel the shift in energy. On a screen, You are reading faces in small rectangles with variable lighting and inconsistent audio. The margin for misreading is wider. In virtual settings, slow down your pace more than feels necessary. Silence feels longer on a call. People need more of it, not less. Build in explicit check-ins. I want to make sure this is making sense. Is there anything you would push back on or want to think through differently? Give people a moment to respond before moving on. For leaders managing distributed, cross-cultural teams, visibility and consistent presence matter. The absence of informal touchpoints means you need to be more deliberate about when and how you show up. How leaders stay visible in virtual workspaces covers this in depth. Also consider timing. Scheduling a meeting at the end of someone's working day in their time zone, when you're fresh in the morning, is a voice calibration failure before you've said a single word. Rotate the inconvenience. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where leaders get this wrong. Three patterns come up again and again, and I have made every one of them myself. The mistake: treating adaptation as compromise. Why it happens. Leaders confuse adjusting their style with abandoning their standards. What to do instead? Separate your values, which stay fixed, from your delivery, which is flexible. You are not becoming less of a leader. You are becoming a more effective one. The mistake: overadapting to the point of inconsistency. Why it happens. Leaders swing from their default to the opposite extreme and confuse their team. What to do instead? Make adjustments that are measured and deliberate. Your team should still recognize you. Consistency builds trust. Lurching from style to style erodes it. The mistake: using cultural difference as an excuse to avoid difficult conversations. Why it happens. Discomfort masquerades as cultural sensitivity. What to do instead? Hard conversations are required across every culture. What changes is the delivery, not the decision to have them. Avoiding the conversation is a failure of leadership, not a sign of respect. For practical guidance on navigating these moments, see how to manage tension when cultural differences are at the root of the conflict. Before your next cross-cultural conversation, a quick calibration check. Use this before any significant cross-cultural interaction. Number 1. Know the context. Is this a high-context or low-context culture? Does hierarchy shape how people respond to authority? Is relational trust a prerequisite for honest communication? Number 2. Check your 4 levers. Tone, directness, pace, and framing. Which one is most likely to misfire here? Number 3. Set your entry point. How will you open? Will you build context before your point? Or is directness expected and respected? Number 4. Plan your feedback delivery. If you need to challenge, correct, or redirect, have a sentence ready. Private setting. Curious framing. Consistent standard. Number 5. Prepare for silence. Decide in advance that you will not fill every gap. Silence is information. Let it speak. Number 6. Schedule your 5-minute reflection. Straight after the interaction, note what landed, what did not, and what you will adjust next time. The role of communication in building meeting effectiveness, including across cultural lines, goes deeper than most leaders realize. See the role of communication in meeting success for a fuller picture. The practice that makes it real. Here is the truth of it: adapting your leadership voice across cultures is not a problem you solve once. It is a capacity you build over years of paying close attention and being willing to be wrong. You will misjudge a room. You will deliver a message with the wrong tone and watch trust drain from a conversation in real time. That is not failure. That is the cost of working at the edge of your current range, which is exactly where growth lies. The leaders I have seen do this well are not perfect cultural scholars. They are people who stayed curious, stayed humble, and built a reliable system for self-correction. They adapted their leadership voice cultures encounter by encounter, one honest reflection at a time. That is what this process gives you, not a guarantee, but a method. Start with a calibration check before your next cross-cultural conversation and see what shifts. Frequently asked questions. What is leadership voice across cultures? Leadership voice across cultures is the conscious ability to adjust how you communicate, including your tone, directness, formality, and pace, based on the cultural expectations of your audience. It is not about abandoning who you are. It is about making sure your intent lands the way you mean it to. How do you adapt your leadership voice for different cultures? You start by learning whether a culture tends toward direct or indirect communication, and whether hierarchy shapes how people respond to authority. Then you adjust your tone, framing, and feedback delivery accordingly. The key is observation first, adaptation second, and consistent practice over time. Why does leadership voice fail in cross-cultural teams? Most leaders fail because they assume their default communication style travels. It does not. What reads as confident and direct in one culture reads as aggressive or dismissive in another. The failure is not bad intent. It is the absence of a system for reading and responding to cultural context. How do high context and low context cultures affect leadership communication? In low context cultures, direct and explicit communication is expected and respected. In high context cultures, meaning is carried by relationship tone and what is left unsaid. A leadership voice calibrated for one will frequently misfire in the other, which is why understanding this distinction matters so much. Can you maintain a consistent leadership voice while adapting across cultures? Yes, your core character, values, and standards stay fixed. What changes is how you express them. Think of it like water taking the shape of its container. The substance does not change, the form does. That distinction is what separates cultural fluency from cultural performance. How do you give feedback across cultures without causing misunderstanding? Frame feedback around the work, not the person. In cultures where face-saving matters, deliver criticism privately and cushion it with genuine acknowledgement first. In more direct cultures, be clear and specific without softening to the point of vagueness. Tone and timing matter as much as the words. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.